What's up, everybody? Solidified into the 30s on Threesome Podcast 31 with Lex and Stacy. Good morning, my dear Stacy. How are you?
Good. How are you, Lexi Poo?
Where were you just now?
I realized that I didn't know what number podcast this was. I agree. I think it's 31.
It is 31, you dumbass.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you are on top of things.
Usually you are, but I'm calling you a dumbass because I don't get to you too often. So, man, I enjoyed
Thank
that.
You.
What'd you just drop, you dumbass?
A pair of scissors.
Please tell me you were running.
No.
Because knowing you, you don't do anything your fucking mother says.
I do sometimes. My mom is chock full of good advice.
Come. Just kidding.
Fact today. Here we go. What did you say?
Nothing.
You went away.
Yeah, you did too.
Today is my mom's birthday.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to say your mom was chock full of cum then. Take it back. Backsies.
Okay.
I bet she wishes she
could. Birthday backsies.
Yeah. I bet she wishes
she could. Nice. That would just be my brother.
Your brother and your mother had sex?
No. If she was going to take back a coming, I imagine it would be him rather than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yes. Because, of course, my mother, being the saintly woman that she is, only had sex twice, and it was strictly for procreational purposes.
Yeah. I got to give it to us. We have a mom full of cum joke 1 minute into our broadcast.
High five.
Stay classy, threesome podcasters. All right, so I was on vacation last week. That's why it's taken us so long to get to 31. I use the term vacation lightly because I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything really different.
You were just busy celebrating Jesus' resurrection.
Yeah, I saw that on there. What the fuck? I don't think people got it either. Everybody's like, what the hell? You're not the kind of people that would celebrate Jesus. Yeah, you fuckheads.
I think they got it.
Yes, we are. Just not that much.
I'm not really.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, no. Yeah. Easter is strictly a pagan collecting candy and eggs kind of thing.
You're at best agnostic. I get it. But
I am. That is totally what I identify as.
Yeah, I believe there's some sort of God. I just, you know, pick and choose when I decide to talk to him and listen to him.
You know, I actually show a lot of gratefulness and thankfulness in my life,
yeah,
even for little things. You know, running late and I manage to hit all green lights, I will just randomly say thank you out loud in the car.
Yeah.
You know, I do try to express and notice things like that. I don't know if it does any good, but I do.
Yeah, I think something or someone created all this. I just don't know who it is. And I'm sorry, I just can't trust dudes who wrote the Bible to be straight up with us.
That's kind of my issue too.
Because
you know, the faithful will tell you was, you know, God spoke through these people. And it's like, I'm sorry, they're still human. And they had an agenda.
No,
and
they
put what they wanted
in
there.
I just believe the world hasn't changed and it's still a guy trying to convince his chick of something some way it really isn't. No, you cook my shit. You clean my shit. You do everything for me because God said so.
Yes. And cover your body because you women cause lust in us men, you temptresses.
Which really means don't cover your body. Give us all the lust we can handle.
No, that's why, like, in school dress codes and stuff. And granted, I do agree that young girls in school should not be wearing, like, little tiny shorts where half their ass is hanging out. You know, I just, surely that's not
that was a fast
minutes.
Hour. Jesus.
That was 5 minutes. Sorry. I'm fucking everything up today.
Today.
But it's, yes. But, you know, when you have, you tell the little girls, this is how you need to be modest. And it's because, yes, they're driving the little boys with the hormones crazy. And I just feel that for too long, and I know this is going to be unpopular, that maybe you men, you boys, you hormone-laden things should be taught from a much earlier age to rein in your needs and your impulses.
I was never told I had any needs or impulses or anything like that. I pretty much went almost all the way through the eighth grade before I started having those kind of thoughts.
Right.
I really,
but then you did.
Yeah.
And nobody then still told you, you know, keep in your pants.
Well, I have an older sister, so sure they did. You know, you know, because they had to explain to me why boys were coming over to date her and go out with her and so on and so forth. You know, I was inquisitive about that. Like,
they're called boobies, Lex.
I was like, ew, you see boys. And the guys would come over and go, what do you want with her? Ugh. And it's like, and they'd be like, you kidding me? Look at her. I'm like, yeah, right. Look at her. I have looked at her my whole fucking life. Ugh. But
years later, she goes full on thorn birds.
Yeah, I think looking back, my sister may have been a little bit of a whore. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I know she was mean. Besides dumping me headfirst into a pile of laundry from the top of the steps and throwing me down a laundry chute, and when I skinned my knee, putting a maxi pad on it and telling me it was a Band-Aid.
Lex, the big Kotex.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and things like that, I realized, you know, whatever happened to her, she had coming to her, including her little brother calling her a whore. So,
you know, when you look back at childhood like that, if boys have older sisters, generally sisters are pretty awful and have the upper hand, basically up until little boy grows and becomes physically stronger than the sister.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I was that, she was out of the house. She's 6 years older than me. So she got to pretty much...
Didn't get to wreak any vengeance.
I got like a year's worth, but it was all mental vengeance. You know, like, you know, she'd have like a guy over to the house and I go, you're a lot nicer than the guy that was here earlier. Stuff like that. You know? I caused some problems.
Did I mention my sister's a whore?
Yeah, I caused some problems. You know, hey, what's up, Jeff? It's George. It's like, oh, yeah.
And then you look at her and kind of mouth obviously, which one's George, which
and,
one's Jeff?
And she go tell my mom and go, you know, tell him not to do that, that's not cool. And she goes, he's telling the truth, you know, you did have another guy over here. It's, she goes, that is stuff that's gonna happen to you if you see more than one.
Like, but meanwhile, again, it's okay
like
for a guy
four.
To do that.
Well, I mean, my dad wasn't there to tell me those things. He was too busy being in Jamaica on business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think my dad played fair. But I found out at the end my mom didn't either.
That is still... That story of your mom, you know, the sad part, like him not coming to the funeral or anything, made me cry. I admit that on more than one occasion, that story has brought me to tears. Like, I'm angry and pissed for your mom. But of course, the fact that she was seeing him for, what, 30 years or whatever is kind of a high five.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the pictures... Double high five.
And I once I knew she was had that going on the side for 35 years, I knew right away. I didn't even have to question the fact that he had stuff going on too. Because I always suspected he did. And her doing that just told me that, you know, she pretty much played it like most women do. It's like, I'm not going to advertise mine like you do.
Right.
You know, men have that hubris where they have to put it out there that, you know, they are the attraction of other women.
The conquerors.
The conquerors and so on and so forth. Women, on the other hand, they just want the good dick. They don't care. They don't. They almost keep it to themselves.
Well, but a lot of that, too, though, unfortunately, goes hand in hand with... We're a whore. You know, I'm a whore if I'm fucking so-and-so, but if you're fucking so-and-so, you are virile and manly, you know.
Yeah, you got it. So,
yeah.
So
it's
anyway,
not fair.
No, it's not. Not at all. But anyway, let's move on. The
Yes.
Oh, God. So, yeah, I mean, I pretty much stopped being mad at my dad when I found out she did that. You know, it was like, okay, I don't know what y'all's deal was. They may have had one, because she certainly had
was open minded.
Well, I mean, she seemed to have no agitation or bitterness towards him. But I know she was not a stupid person. She's no. not somebody you got over on ever. So, I just have to believe she went, you know what? He's going to do what he does. I'm going to do what I do. That's just what our marriage and our relationship is. I don't think we give our parents enough credit for being a little wiser and a little more progressive than they are. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. I also think like it's an age thing. I don't know. I know like in my 20s, I had definite ideas of what was not going to happen in a relationship, meaning if someone cheated on me and I knew about it, they'd be gone
yeah,
no matter what, no
see
questions asked. Right.
Same here.
And I, as you get older, especially once you're in a marriage and especially once your finances are all intertwined, you know, and there's the
yeah.
life together. I think then, and I don't even know if you call it settling, honestly. I think that's where you stop, whether you're the man, woman in a relationship, whatever. And you think to yourself, okay, my spouse did this. It hurts, it bothers me, it's whatever, but ultimately, is it worth ruining everything else? And you kind of start maybe settling. I don't know if that's the right word, though. Or you just get
no,
a different view of life.
I mean, as somebody just got divorced a couple of years ago, I really, like, looked the other way on a lot of stuff for a long period of time. Because you just get older and you just kind of... way moving on to what was that really worth moving on for type of stuff. But
right.
but it builds up points. It builds up
right.
residuals. And then you're weighing more than just one thing when it happens. You know, which is what I tried to explain to her. Because she thought my departure was kind of out of the blue. And I'm like, oh, no. No, no, no. You know,
you left the milk in the hot car all day and it curdled. I'm
yeah.
leaving you.
Yeah. You know,
no,
that,
no,
you know, just that type of deal. And it gets more and less complicated as you get older. I know if I caught Lisa fooling around on me, I would be very businesslike about it. I'd just say, you know, you need to go. But emotionally, I'd be like, this shit happens in life. You know, it is what it is. And you can choose to either say, hey, it's okay, I get it, or I can't process that. You got to go. But my days of wanting to take a baseball bat to somebody are pretty much over. Have been for quite some time.
And Terry is so happy.
Yeah. I'd never take a baseball bat to Terry. He's part of my financial success. Why do you think he's gotten away with so much? As have I.
So, it's where you find someone who does a good impersonation.
Nobody can impersonate him, and likewise. Nope, you just suck it up.
Oh, I smell a contest.
You just suck it up and move forward. Just like you do, Stacy. You know what I mean? So, yes. Okay, good.
Question for you. With you guys having worked together so closely for so long, much like the New York Times does, do you have Terry's obituary written in case the worst happens and you need it real quick?
I wouldn't need to. I'd know. I could do his eulogy, you know, easily. You know, and do it proudly.
And I think you guys should write your each other's for each other. Like, you write yours and give it to Terry, and then have Terry write his and give it to you.
I think we actually did something like that, like 5 or 6 years ago. It was pretty funny.
Once you hit the 50s. And you can drop dead at any time.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't matter.
He stroked out while driving.
I wish I could just at any time, but I'm too fucking amazing.
And you have good prostate health.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I take care of myself. I'm not going fucking anywhere.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I would be devastated.
I'm glad somebody would be. That's nice.
Yeah. Anytime.
You just only because you'd have to rename the podcast. But
it's the twosome.
Yeah, it's the onesie. Yeah.
The singlet.
The singlet. Of all the singlet. You get like a swastika for your logo. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, that would go well.
Uh huh. Yeah, well, some people it would. Just not exactly the audience you're looking for.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which...
She's huge amongst neo-Nazis.
Speaking of swastikas, have you seen the Scientology thing on HBO yet?
No, I really want to. Of course, I have to wait till it hits Netflix.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I've been reading that it's, like, eye-opening.
Well, they highlight two actors in it. Cruz is one of them. They briefly touch on Travolta, the two people we all have known all along about. But there's another guy named Jason Begay.
Much like all other male Scientologists.
No, you may know this. Do you ever watch like Chicago PD?
Nope.
If you look him up, you'll look at him and go, oh, okay, I've seen that guy in a bunch of stuff. He's been on,
so
like...
Jason Begay.
Yeah, B-E-G-H-E. And, he's like a character actor. He's been on a bunch of stuff over the years. You know, he's in his 50s. But he was a Scientologist for 10 years. And when he went there, he was truly lost. You know, like, was having trouble getting acting gigs. I think he was having some substance abuse stuff going on, some alcohol stuff. You know, things like that. And was really looking for some answers. So he goes to the Church of Scientology and spends 10 years there, and they do this thing called auditing. I don't know if you've read about it or not, but basically...
Yeah, that's where they interview you and find out all of your secrets that they can ultimately use against you.
Interview you about your interviews.
All with their little lie detector that somehow is connected to Xenu, and they know what's...
Yes.
Taking control of you.
Yes. And they're holding like what looks like two giant silver penises, and there's cords attached to them that... attached to this meter thing, and one of the guys that left the church was like the second in command, this guy named Marty, and Jason Begay is really the reason the documentary got done, because when he left the Church of Scientology, he did a 2-hour YouTube interview about it, which they ultimately got suppressed, but it already got out there. You know,
good.
And got out there and about, and people and people were like, "What the fuck?" I mean, the stuff they do is reprehensible. I mean, just horrible.
Well, I don't know how to pronounce his name. What's that? Selvigi guy? Like, he's the leader.
Oh no! L. Ron Hubbard died, and the guy's name is. Something Vitch.
It looks like Discargivi or something like that. I don't know. But his wife has been missing for years. No one has seen her around in years.
No, let me find this guy's name. But he is a little Napoleon slime bag.
Well, yeah, rumor has it, and I've never...
Miscavige.
Okay. David Miscavige. Weird.
Yeah.
Yes, and his wife has been missing. No one has seen her. Now, they haven't actually called the police because he says she's not missing. She's at home or something, but nobody has seen her in years.
Yeah. And, you know, they went over the whole Tom Cruise thing. Apparently Miscavige and Tom Cruise met at Days of Thunder when he was filming that, which is when he met Nicole Kidman.
Right.
And they immediately labeled her as a distraction. In other words, she wasn't buying the bullshit. She just hung out with Tom and stuck by him. But for the most part, she was like, yeah, keep this bullshit away from me. You know, you do your thing, whatever. And if you ever get fucking weird, I'm out of here, which ultimately happened. But she, her dad was a leading psychologist in Australia. And, you know, they were like trying from the get go to get him away from her.
Right.
And they were talking about when they were filming on the set of Eyes Wide Shut. I don't know if you remember that movie. It was a Stanley Kubrick movie. And the two of them...
The sex. Which was terrible, apparently.
The two of them took 2 years away from society to film that movie. You know, because Stanley Kubrick was such a fucking nut job. It took two.
Yes.
It took 2 years to do it, and this Miscavige guy apparently was out of his fucking mind that he did not have access to Tom Cruise like he normally did. So he sent this Marty guy to kind of get near him and stay around him, and you know, of course, report back to Miscavige and make sure he stays in the church and all this stuff. And while you're at it, alienate Nicole some more. And things like that. And, you know, Tom Cruise, the fucking dumbass, you know, doesn't get it. In the meantime, this Marty guy left the church, I think like 2001, 2002, something like that. You know, finally, like, you know, seeing the awful nature of the whole thing. And he has been under surveillance from the Church of Scientology for going on 15 years. And,
wow.
Yeah,
I had read that they do that to like anyone who tries leaving.
Yeah.
Like Leah Remini, whatever her name is.
Yeah, they smeared her.
Yeah.
Yeah, made sure she, you know, she was like, they told me I'd never work again, and yeah, I believe them.
You do remember what I look like, right?
Yeah. And, you know, she ended up on The Talk or The View or something like that, but they really make things difficult for those in acting. You know, Jason Begabe and another one, you know, he was just like, he goes, I was so fucked up in the head. He goes, and I knew I was fucked up in the head. I knew everything wasn't right, you know, but it's like they're telling you, oh, you're doing so much better. Oh, you're doing great. Oh, you know, and he's like, he goes, finally, you just finally go, no, I'm not. I'm worried.
See, just last week.
Yeah.
I think it was Gawker, one of those websites, posted a list of all of these celebrity, you know, actor type people that they could think of and knew and could confirm that were Scientologists. It was a pretty long list.
Yeah.
And the person that really surprised me was Greta Van Susteren from Fox News is a Scientologist.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how that even can work.
Yeah. That's, well, I do. You know, following people, bugging their offices. It's very Republican.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ask Nixon. Who, by the way, was awesome.
I remember.
I'm sorry.
I know you're a big fan of Dick.
As are you.
Yeah.
Or Dick.
Who isn't? Now, I remember when I started working at Rock 105 in Jacksonville and, you know, moved to Jacksonville and all that. Now, I was in my mid-20s when I went there. And, you know, this was still kind of early on in the whole internet age. I knew about Scientology, but I had never dealt with it. Certainly, there's, you know, that's not anything here, you know. And I had to do this interview, and I had booked it with this group that was going to talk about psychology and like medicine. And I remember Ashley from Big Ape going, oh my God, why did you book the Scientologists? And I'm like, but it doesn't say Scientologists. And then she explained to me because I didn't know anything. And it was like, ah, crap, I've got Scientologists. So I did the interview and everything, but it was like, all right, I am never doing that again.
Wow. Wow.
I didn't know because they didn't identify it themselves. It was like, you know, I don't remember, like, you know, America for Drug-Free Psychology or
yeah.
something. You know what I mean? It was because they hate the drugs, to, you know, like Prozac and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's messed
up. So I was totally duped by them.
That is messed up.
But that was also because I was young and stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young and stupid. Yay.
Go figure. Yay.
All right. So anyway, you need to see that documentary. It's really good.
Okay.
And I was hoping to be able to talk to you about the Frank Sinatra one. I have not seen it yet, but it looks really good.
Is that a documentary as well?
Yeah. So HBO's just got it going on right now.
Okay, do understand again for those listening at home. I don't have TV.
Yeah.
I have Netflix, but I do not have like network TV. So when you know, ask about especially HBO and things, I see nothing.
So when you
In fact, I'm the one like at Christmas time at my mom's house watching TV because of course we had to watch Christmas Story. And so all the commercials, the Christmas commercials and like the Rob Lowe commercials and everything, I was going, yay, that's so funny. And meanwhile, everyone else is like, really? Because I've been seeing this commercial like every 5 minutes since October and it's not funny to me anymore. But I was like, yay, Rob Lowe's funny.
My favorite commercial right now is the Southwest Airlines Dancing Wedding Chick.
You know, I saw you post that on Facebook, and I kind of laughed because I have to tell you, every time that was on during the games, I would stop talking, whatever, and just watch. There was something mesmerizing about that commercial.
Yeah, I mean, what's mesmerizing is they completely nail it as far as the type of person they're looking for. You know, the weekend traveler, the person that likes to go see friends or go to weddings or, you know, that, you know, right in that 20 to 35 you know, female age group, somebody that would go to a wedding and be a bridesmaid or whatever the case is, you know, so they grab that right. chick and, you know, show her to like five different weddings in one commercial, you know, doing a little dance, you know, doing the Tone Loke robot and all that shit. And she's so fucking cute. She really is.
Yes, and she dances each dance really well.
Yeah, I'm
you know, as I said, I enjoyed watching it. It was like there's something mesmerizing about it.
Oh, God, I'm in love with that chick. She's so quirky and fun and cute, and it's like I just want to wrap her up and take her somewhere and fuck her. But, because that's all.
Me too. Let's have a threesome.
Yeah. You're
the Southwest Airlines chick.
You're so about the branding. I love it. So, by the way, you're listening to the Threesome Podcast. You should know that because you downloaded it. But
threesomepodcast.com.
It's so different than doing radio, isn't it? It's like they already know what they're fucking listening to. Yeah,
hope at least.
If this were radio, we'd be going. You're listening to Lex and Stacey on the Threesome Podcast. All right. So anyway, yeah, because you got to
mention it every 10 minutes plus weather.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the program director buzzing the hotline. Oh, yeah, I got to say who we are again. Because people don't know what fucking station they're listening to.
Yes. Well, because you know that one person, the day that you don't say the station ID every 10 minutes, that person with the book is going to go, God, I would have written this morning show down, but I have no idea what station they're on.
Yeah, and give me a fucking break. If that's the person you're depending on for your ratings, then you've so fucked up anyway. Yeah, which is so
I've noticed all of marketing seems to be directed at how stupid everybody is.
I mean, the new rating system's so fucking stupid, the people meter thing. It's so ass backwards. It's like, yeah, let's reward a radio station for having a dude in the car while the woman's driving. He has the meter. She's listening to some pussy radio station, and they end up with giant male numbers. Because he's the only dumb fuck with a penis that'll wear one of those fucking things. He represents about 40,000 people. You know,
I know,
which is why in Dallas, K-Love, which is a female, I lost my husband and I'm fat and I eat bonbons and, you know, watch sorry TV shows on E all weekend long. You know, that just definitely explains why they have the number two radio station for men. It's a fucking disgrace. I went and met with a unsaid ad agency over my vacation who gets it. They're a very progressive ad agency, and we were like talking. I said,
so they hire women.
So well, they hire both. You know, they hire they're all about results. That's men, women, whatever they're looking for whatever product. And I said, please tell me that when People Meter came out, you knew it was fucked up and stupid. And they went, oh, God, yeah. But we used it to our advantage. He goes, we ended up going on radio stations that we knew had big male numbers, but they were gone because of People Meter, and got the ads for pennies on the dollar. I went,
which makes you go, aw.
I went, you know what? That's funny, because they truly believe they were getting over on you. He goes, yeah, I know they do. I'm like, yeah, the people who make the fucking money, you're smarter than they are. Shut up. You know, it was.
Well, the thing is, you know, with all of the. And it's, say spying and everything, surprised that, you know, they don't have some way to tell what radio station the radio is actually tuned to and how many people are within a 25-foot radius of said radio and whether they have a penis or a vagina. Yeah.
Listen, the way they did it before wasn't perfect, but at least there was some brand loyalty for the people that did get diaries. You know, at least they knew who they listened to and why and what it was, you know, and when they wrote it down, you at least got the sense that you actually had a fan of the radio station, whoever it was.
Right.
You know, and usually it was very brand specific to morning or afternoon shows with personalities on them because that was really the brand for the people. And this just took that completely out of the equation, which is why I think radio was totally okay with it. So they wouldn't have to pay big talent money and stuff like that. And I know this because they fired it across the board. We were part of that process. And it just made me laugh because it was such a short-term fix. Because, okay, you get to play music, good for you, and get the same ratings you got with morning shows because of this monitoring system. But the ad agencies don't buy into it. They don't buy into you. They don't buy into the fact that there's really that many people listening. And now you're up against people and their own personal choice on their own personal devices. And
like listening to the Threesome podcast on your way to work.
Yeah. And you are going to lose. I can program me better than you can. So can every fucking person out there. The landscaper, the painter, the corporate dude. We're all better programmers than you when it comes to us.
Right.
So what are you doing? Why are you devaluing your real estate by the millions?
Do you think that radio will eventually go away? I feel there will always be some sort of need for it, at least from a local standpoint.
Well, yeah, we need to know when the aliens are coming and stuff like that. But
you laugh, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, but even then, I'll probably find out about it, you know, while my head's severed next to my podcast downloading by itself. Yeah. Well, I've been laser severed, you know, by Mach 2.
Ooh, that sounds naughty.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got laser severed twice last night. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. You had an orgasm and you can't have babies. All right, so that's somewhat surgery and medicinal sounding, so let me move on to something else here. Deadspin has announced that Lawrence Tynes, I know you watch enough football to be dangerous, so you may know that name, but he's a kicker. And he, you know, like most kickers, went from here to here, there to there, you know, kicking around the league, but Lawrence Tynes.
Unless you're Jason Hansen.
Yeah, unless you're Jason Hansen, which, you know, you're in a dome and you kick great and you get to stay for a dozen years or so. Lawrence Tynes has sued the Tampa Bay Bucks over a career-ending MRSA infection.
Really?
Which he got in the Bucks locker room.
Where did he get it?
I don't know, but you should see him. He is all kinds of fucked up. He is suing the Bucks.
Like all over?
Yeah, he is suing the Bucks for $35 million. His career's over. He still has the infection. He can't get rid of it. That I don't know if you remember in the news, but the Buccaneers had to sanitize their entire training facility because some other people, I think Carl Nix was one of them, and another player who is not named got an infection, and they got $3 million apiece. Jonathan Banks contracted it also. Unlike Tyson and Nix, he recovered and started 14 games for the Bucks last season.
Now, see, it's funny because there was just earlier this week, last week, I'm trying to think, there was a story. It's really fascinating in a dork geek kind of way. These people read old Anglo-Saxon manuscripts. It's like almost like a weird book club. They pick one and they'll read it and then discuss it, but they're not really like paid scholars. You know, they're not doing research per se. And they found this in some university over in England. They found this 1,000-year-old manuscript, and in it was a recipe for an eye salve, which automatically, at least for me, makes you go, well, that's something I will never put into my eye. But they kind of dinked around with it and made the stuff according to this 1,000-year-old recipe, and it kills MRSA.
Wow.
And it is, are you ready for this? It is onion, it is garlic, it is wine, and it is cow bile. That's it, those four ingredients.
We need more cow bile. Is it Christopher Walken saying it?
And where do you squeeze a cow to get its bile?
I don't know.
But you have to cook it in a brass vessel, and then you strain it, and then you let it sit for 9 days. And at the end of that, this old gross eye salve kills MRSA. They actually took it into hospitals where, like, you know, the really, it's you know, like you find it in large quantities and stuff. It almost completely, I mean, there was so little left after they were done smearing this stuff on it.
Wow.
I know. So there you go.
That's pretty awesome.
If only someone from the Bucks read old Anglo-Saxon manuscripts.
Well, what do football players do? Go to the hospital a lot. You know, so I'm sure somebody brought it back with them, and off it went. But it's something I've had before. It sucks.
What did it do to you, if I may ask?
I had a... I got it on a cut I had on my face.
Ooh.
And it's like this thing wouldn't fucking go away. And it was like itchy and just would not go.
And did it get worse or did it just stay open?
For a while it got worse. It got all like, you know, damp and puffy, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? So I went and saw a skin.
Oh, so it was like an oozy wound.
Yeah. So I went and saw
it. Oh, on your face. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I went and saw a dermatologist, and I'm like, what's going on? She goes, you have a little bit of MRSA. I went, what?
just a smidge, a skosh.
She goes, yeah, put this on. Here's an antibiotic topical. Here's antibiotics. Here's some stuff. And within a couple weeks, it went away. But holy shit.
Now, see, and I'm certainly not a parent, so I would be getting my kids vaccinated and all that crap. But I know one thing that I would not be doing because I don't do it now. You don't go to the doctor and get antibiotics when you have the sniffles.
No.
At this point in my life, I will not be asking for antibiotics unless, you know, something is in danger of falling off my body or right. It smells bad because of the gangrene.
Yeah. I have to see, like, something pussy in order to ask for antibiotics.
Yes.
No doubt.
And honestly, that's what everybody, it's common sense, and it's only going to prolong humanity a little longer before the super bug kills us all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff's quietly made its way into our water supply and into the earth and so on and so forth, and then we grow something and redigest it and it build up our tolerance.
Yep.
Doesn't work. But it's I think I've had 5 or 6 instances in my life I've had to take antibiotics.
I'm pretty sure I've taken more, but I also really haven't been to the doctor in the last 10 years. So I'm good. I don't want antibiotics. And in fact, if I were prescribed at this point, like you just said, if I don't have something oozing out of a wound, I will probably ask the doctor, is this necessary?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do my part to not grow, you know, that antibiotic resistant superbug.
Yeah, that's it's just out of control. It really is.
But you know, my next door neighbor has cows. I think the next time they butcher one, I'm going to ask them for the bile. Yep.
Yeah.
Go to an antique store and see if I can find a brass vessel and start brewing myself.
Or a sex store. I'm sure you got plenty of vessels laying around the house.
But not brass.
You are in your 40s.
Nice. I am.
Sluts.
We are. But see, we're quiet about it because we have to be.
Yeah, some of you are. Most of you are. God knows how often my chick sits at home and shows something somewhere. I don't know. Whatever.
Just cramming my hoo-ha full,
yeah,
Lex.
You can't stop progress.
I'm sure she's so happy.
Yeah, she would not be happy to hear that.
Thank God she doesn't listen.
I know.
She asks me sometimes, dodged she's a like, bullet what? There.
She's like, do you think the podcast is on right now? I'm like, I don't think so. Do you talk about me in that? Well, don't be ridiculous. You know what? It's always about you, isn't it? Then I'll like get in the car and turn on LT2 and it'd be us talking about her. Yeah, I'm like, oh shit.
Lex describing in graphic detail what her hoo-ha looks like when she hasn't shaved it in 3 days.
She goes to a professional for that. There is no shaving. It's just
her.
The Velcro. The Velcro.
Rip.
It's like so discomforting. It's like, you know, no different than when she was 3. It's like, you know, you should love.
How do you know that?
Well, because I pretty much know puberty doesn't take place for a long time till after 3. So I'm just being safe. I read a fucking
She's
book.
Popping fresh.
Jesus Christ. Yes. How do you know that? Okay, you got me. I was looking in her window when she was 3. She's like, what the fuck?
It was a lifelong love affair.
Yeah, I always knew I'd end up with her, even when she was 3.
Cue Chris Isaac.
What's that mean?
The Wicked Game song. Oh, oh, inappropriately gross. You're peeking this little girl. You're staring at a little girl's room. Gross. So wrong.
You're so fucked up.
All these really romantic songs are playing. Gross.
Oh, honey. Yeah, sugar, sugar. That's so fucking wrong.
Oh, golly.
All right, well, there's another week we can't have her turn it on. She just shakes her head anyway. Oh, like, she goes, I don't have any. She goes, it's really bad sometimes, isn't it? I went, oh, yeah.
I have nothing but the highest respect and regard for Lisa's freshly waxed pussy.
Mm-hmm. It makes two of us. I mean, you know, Egypt would look at that and go, now that's preserving right there.
Nice.
With all due respect, honey.
Well, good. I'm glad that she has a young, vibrant vagina.
Me too.
Still stretchy in all the right places.
Yeah. Seems to be. Any hoo-hoo. Anyway, that is that's the deal.
Lex?
That's the deal on the MRSA front there. And
Cowbile.
I'll let you know if that proceeds any further into a lawsuit.
I'm gonna have to look him up so I can see what bad shape he's in. Is it like all over his body?
The picture I'm looking at has him holding like a, it almost looks like
limb.
He's holding like a bottle with a tube coming out of it, and it's going into his arm, and he has this ass whip.
It's his colostomy bag.
Yeah, it's this, I mean, he's all wrapped up, and he's got.
I mean, it's coming out of his arm.
He's got medical tape with something going into his veins, you know, so it's injecting some sort of antibiotics into him.
What's his name?
Lawrence Tynes, T-Y-N-E-S. If you go to Deadspin, it's on there right now.
Luckily, it comes right up when you type it into Google.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite websites.
Google or Deadspin?
Deadspin. So it looks like the...
look at him.
So it looks like the...
He doesn't look like he's in bad shape. Looks healthy. Just has a thing stuck to his arm.
It looks like April 24th. Yeah, but the infection's in his foot, so you can't see that. It looks like...
Well, then I think they're putting it in the wrong spot.
I think they cut his feet off. But they have the Bruce Jenner interview rescheduled for April 24th.
And will you be watching with bated breath?
Oh, God, yeah. I have to.
I know.
I must.
That might be one where I say, Mom,
yeah.
I'm coming over.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. I mean, you absolutely have to. Aren't you just blown away how under the radar he's been with this? I mean, he's in his mid-60s.
My thing, and I... support him in whatever he wants to do. I have no issue with him deciding he wants to make this change. If this is how he's always felt, there is a little bit of sadness that he has lived his life that long not being comfortable. My only thing that I feel really bad about, though, is that when this is all said and done, he is going to be such an ugly woman.
Mm-hmm. He already is.
I know.
But he
and
he,
I feel bad for him about that.
He looks like an old church lady anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he looks like one of those chicks. You go pick her up and she's fucking amazing and you look at her mom and go,
that's what's going to happen. Sometime in the next 25 years, you're going from that to that. Well, I guess the question is, I mean, we're not far from a full year. Do we want to work on, like, changing the logo, maybe have a contest or something?
That would be cool. Because we basically just threw a logo together. It would be cool to have.
Let's be honest. That was me playing with PaintShop Pro.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well,
I wasn't being anything special.
I was being honest. We threw it together. What do you think that fucking means?
Yes.
So yeah, let's commiserate about that and put some sort of formal contest together. I think July 1st is our 1 year, somewhere around there.
Yes.
So that would be absolutely amazing to do such a thing. I would personally like to be involved in making sure we move forward with a brand new logo and a brand new look and everything else, that would be just tremendous.
Yes, it would.
So,
I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, I know. See, this is where you need to be.
And I ruined it.
This is where you need to be better, because I completely covered for you and your ineptitude, your Wi-Fi ineptitude in the tip of the fucking world up there, and you blew it.
Sorry.
It's all right. So anyway.
I'm nothing if not honest and transparent.
Yeah, we need to get out of here. We're out
of
time.
Yes, we do. Because Lex has a lot of editing to do now.
You need to shut the fuck up so we can leave.
All right.
All right. We'll see you next week for Threesome Podcast 32. So long, Stacy.
Bye, Lex.